invite you to the 14th chapter of the book of Job. And I want to read the verses 1 and 2 from the 14th chapter. And I read, the man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. I want to talk about going through trouble. Going through trouble. The operative word is through. Everybody in here at some point in their life has experienced trouble. Amen. It's my belief that either you're in trouble now, just coming out of trouble, or headed for trouble. If you're out of trouble right now, you ought to celebrate a little bit, because trouble could be waiting outside the door. But none of us, whether you are on your way to heaven or on your way to hell, are exempt from trouble. Job said, man that born of a woman is a few days. Life is a temporary journey. You're not going to be here a long time, and it's full of trouble. The children get in trouble. Old folk get in trouble. And everybody in between gets in trouble. When you read the Bible, everybody from Adam to Abraham to Moses to Joshua to Caleb to David, Saul, Solomon, even Jesus got in trouble. And if you don't think having a bunch of angry folk trying to stone you to death ain't trouble, that's trouble. All of your life, your days might be filled with trouble, but there is one authority on the subject of trouble, and his name is Job. Very early on, I used to call his name Job. But it's Job. The narrative tells us, if you've never read this story of Job, the man from the land of Uz. And this is before the time that Abraham came on the scene. Very early in history, before the law had been given, there was no Bible, but everyone had made an assumption as to who God was. Job was a very reverent and respectful man who feared the Lord and shunned evil. His life consisted of value, morally, spiritually. He had great qualities of character, and he was wealthy. God had blessed Job. The Bible says he had 10 children, 7 sons, and 3 daughters. Amen. Very often, besides all of his substance and his servants and his great wealth of household, when his children were feasting, he acted as priest of the family, for when they were through, he would offer sacrifices for them in case they had sinned against God. Job was righteous, upstanding. But behind the scenes, we see that Satan makes an entrance into heaven. When the sons of God, the angels, came together, Satan came along with them. For he has heaven visitation rights. We find here in Job that Satan is a person. Not just an evil influence and not just a spirit, but a person with emotions, with intellect. And God asked him, where have you been? Oh, God knew where he had been. He just asked him the question. Job said, I've been going to and fro and up and down the earth. Actually, he's like a roaring lion, Peter says, seeking who he may devour. And God brings up his servant Job. Have you considered my servant Job? For he knew that the devil was trying to get folk in trouble. And so he said, have you considered my servant Job? For Job is upstanding in all of his ways. And Satan says, yes, that's because you put a hedge around. That's because you blessed him, you protected him, you've got this hedge around him. And he does not just worship you for nothing. He worships you because you blessed him. You'd be surprised how many folk will bless the Lord because they've been blessed. But I didn't come here because I'm blessed. I come here today because I love Jesus. I love God. I come to worship him in spirit and in truth. If he don't bless me again, he's blessed me already too much. And I think that we need to develop that type of attitude when we come to worship God. We don't come with our hand out. You see, I'm not seeking his hand. I'm seeking his face. I want to have an intimate relationship with him and worship him because I have found out that when I seek his face, he extends his hand. So he blessed Job. The record says that he had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she donkeys, and very great household of servants and great wealth. As a matter of fact, the greatest man in the East. He had wealth, social position, a loving family. But Satan came before God. If you take the hedge away from around him, he'll curse you to your face. The only reason he served you because you've been so good to him. So God said, well, I'll give you permission to take everything that he has. And we'll see. Only don't touch his body. And so Satan went with that. And you must understand also the principle that established here, that the devil can't do nothing to you unless he get permission from God to do it. So a lot of times when you're talking about the devil made you do something, the devil ain't made you do nothing. You just wanted to do it. Amen. Poor devil get everything blamed on him. Amen. I told you about that time I come to church through that way and he was sitting outside on that bench crying. I said, devil, what's wrong with you? He said, you got some lying members up in that church that lying on me. Talking about there would have been a prayer meeting, but they were sick. They wasn't sick. They were at the bowling alley, Reverend. I'm going to tell you about some of your members. Amen. Renamed here this morning because they hung over from last night's cabaret. The devil cried so much, I started crying, and I pulled out my handkerchief and gave it to him. And they said, get back in the choir stand where you belong, devil. Amen. He'll curse you to your face. And so in one day, Satan caused for great loss and Job's trouble. One day, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she donkeys, all of his servants, and one servant less. And then the great catastrophe. His sons and daughters were in a place, and a whirlwind came, and the roof fell in and killed all of them. And each servant said, I'm the only one left to come and tell you this. So when the dust clears, there's only four servants and his wife left. Why did he leave his wife? Oh, this is going to get deeper. This is going to get deeper. Amen. Satan ain't no fool. He leaves the wife. I don't know her name. I call her Shay Shay. Job and Shay Shay. Amen. So now he has lost everything. But he arrives and he tears his robe, shaves his head, fell out on the ground and worshiped God. Yes, he did. And he said, naked came I from a mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me put it like this. He said, I didn't come with nothing. I ain't leaving with nothing. Everything I got, God gave to me and had a right to take from me, but hallelujah anyhow. That's what he said. He realized that everything that he had was a gift, even his children. But blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible said, and this Job did not sin nor charge God foolishly. But the devil had a plan too. Had a plan B, a backup plan. Come before God. This time he comes with the angels. And the Lord again says, where you come from? And I've been walking up and down to and fro. And Satan had to consider my servant Job. He said, he still had hold fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause, devil. And then the devil answers, yes, skin for skin. You see, that's because I didn't touch his body. You see, if I cause trouble to his body, if I cause something to happen, he'll change his mind. Yeah, I know possessions are gone. He said, but you touch his body. So you told me I couldn't touch his body. So God gives permission. He said, only you can't kill it. Now, and I understand something. Job is not privy to what's going on in heaven. He's not aware of it. He is confused. He don't understand, and he's like some of us talking about, what did I do wrong? Why is this happening to me? Well, let me interfere right here and tell you that everybody is in line for trouble. Saint or ain't, you get in trouble. Trouble looking for you when you ain't looking for trouble. Amen? So now, Satan afflicts him, boils, his bones ache, pus is running, smelling up the place. Now, here comes Shay Shay. She plans C. She's a backup plan. Losing his valuables, his family, his servants, his children as well. And now, having this affliction put upon him, here she comes. Yes. Not the encouraging word, because the devil knows if there's anybody that can get next to you when he can't, Shay Shay can. Oh, don't say amen too loud, man, because Shay Shay might be sitting next to you. Oh, don't look over at her. Don't look at her. Don't you ever do what I did. I called Sister Twyman Shay Shay one time after I preached this sermon. I didn't get dinner for almost 2 weeks. That ain't all she wasn't giving up, but I ain't going to go no further with that. Amen. But there is a Shay-Shay spirit that's prevalent. That is not encouraging at all. You know, I heard Juanita singing. She said that he was sick so long his flesh fell from his bones. His wife came to him saying, curse God and die. And he said, woman, you sound like a foolish woman. God knows you don't sound like my wife. But she said exactly what the devil wanted him to say. Exactly what Satan told God he would do. Curse God to his face. But he wouldn't do it. Oh, he cursed the day he was born, but he never cursed God in his affliction. Now, the record said, and if you read all this, you'll find that the Shay-Shay actually put him out the house because he said he was stinking up the place. So he went from his presence, and he had smoked Job, and he had boils all over him, and he took a piece of pot that was broken, a piece of pottery, and he began to scrape his wounds. But he retained his integrity. Job did not sin with his lips. And now he has three friends. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar.
Yes, sir.
They're well to do, and they've come from a great distance because they've heard of his affliction, his plight, and his dilemma, and they've come to him. And when they see him, my God, they said nothing. For 7 days, they sat there with him and said not a word. That tells us something. Sometimes when you got a friend going through something, sometimes it's good to show up but shut up. Did you hear what I said? It's good to show up to say, I'm here to support you, but quit trying to figure out what happened to me. Why this is happening to you. Here's the one that get me. I know how you feel. How you know how I feel? Sometimes I don't even know how I feel. Have you ever talk to somebody who is your friend who you could not tell them about your trouble without them trumping your trouble? Man, my dog died. Oh, they, my dog and cat died. Man, I just got laid off. I got fired. Got another job, got fired again. You know somebody like that, I don't care what you tell them, you can't never outdo them when it comes to their trouble. How you gonna know how I feel? Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Man, I know how you feel. My brother died too. But your brother wasn't none of mine. You can't feel my pain. You don't know what I'm going through. And even if you did, that ain't helping me. Just pray for me. And sometimes just shut up. Don't say nothing. Like I say, show up, but shut up. Amen. They began to question why he was suffering. The question really is, why does the righteous suffer? Because God is sovereign and he allowed everyone to suffer. And none of us have a trouble-free exemption clause in our covenant with God. None of us. The biblical terms for suffering is trouble, afflictions, adversities, tribulation, trials, persecutions. And we all must go through something. It all happened because it's part of the equation or what happened in the Garden of Eden.
Yes,
God made man and then made woman from the man and gave the woman to the man and gave him the law and he gave her the law and they both sinned.
Yes.
She led him.
Yes.
And they both sinned. Yes. But the fall happened when he sinned and disobeyed God's word. Yes. And sin always produces trouble. Trouble is the consequences of the fall of man.
Yes,
he said that the woman would suffer in childbearing and the desire would be to her husband, but the man will have exhausting labor all the days of his life.
Yes.
Earn his bread by the sweat on his brow.
Yes.
Trouble.
Yes.
Everybody, as I said previously, is either in trouble, coming out of trouble, or going in to trouble. So come on, let me give some troubleology to you. I've studied the subject of trouble. So I know something about it. I've had enough birthdays to know that everybody will be afflicted with trouble. First of all trouble is not caused by the devil. While God regulates the measure of afflictions in the life of Job, none of us are perfect and all are sin and come short of the glory of God. God does not have to cause our trouble. We can get enough trouble all by ourselves. We need no help in producing trouble. We are the source of most of our own trouble, and yet many of us like to play like we're the victim. Have you ever seen some people like that? They just love to, poor me. I can't kill nothing, won't nothing die. Victims. You hear people say, you're looking for trouble. You ain't got to look for trouble. Trouble looking for you. Let me tell you something. Trouble know your social security number.
Yes, sir.
Trouble got your license number. He knows your DNA. You can't run from trouble. You can't hide from trouble. I know folks that say, well, I'm going to get away from this trouble. I'm going to move to another state, and I'm going to pack up my stuff, and trouble get in the moving van with it. You can't avoid trouble. Trouble's so wide, you can't even get around trouble. Amen, amen. And you can only sometimes temporarily postpone or delay trouble. But trouble coming. And after trouble leaves, guess what? You're coming back. You might as well understand that. Man that's born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He comes up like a flower, but he dissipates and dies. Can't get around trouble. Everybody got to go through it. See, trouble does not have to have a schedule or an appointment with you. Trouble is not concerned with your busy schedule. Trouble will make you make time for it. Trouble will change all your plans just like that. Trouble can come sooner than right now. It's faster than immediately. Amen. Trouble don't need to sneak up on you, but it can. Trouble don't care who you are or who you think you are. Trouble don't care. Let me tell you about trouble. How brazen trouble is. Trouble don't care how old you are, how young you are, how good looking you are. Pretty folk have trouble too. Don't care what you look like. Trouble don't care about your gender, male or female or other. Amen. Trouble don't care about your social status. If you're in the who, trouble don't care. Does not care about your economic status, whether you're rich or poor, or how much money you have, or how much you think you have. Trouble don't care. Trouble does not care about your racial ethnicity. Black, white, red, brown, yellow, trouble don't care. Trouble don't care about your marital status, whether you're single, married, divorced, separated, or about to get divorced, already separated, and they don't know you separated. Trouble don't care. Don't care about your political status. Democrat, Republican, independent. Trouble don't care none about that. Trouble don't care about your employment status, whether you got a good job, a great job, a bad job, or no job at all. Trouble don't care. The other characteristics of trouble is that trouble could be sitting right next to you right now. Don't look. Trouble could be sleeping on the next pillow. You could be potty training your trouble. Trouble could be living in your house. I knew a lady in our church years ago sometime, and she came to me this story, and she said that she came home one early day and seen a man in her kitchen making a sandwich. Come to find out, he'd been living in her attic for about 3 months. Her daughter put him up there. You don't know what kind of trouble you might have. Sometimes you better go home early, amen. There's all kind of trouble. Health trouble. Amen. You have health trouble. Doctor give you some bad news. Health trouble. You can have some job trouble. That affects your state of employment and your general welfare. You can have some people trouble. A problem with relationships and so forth. And you can have money trouble. And sometimes you're broke. And sometimes you don't know where it's going. And personal economy is affected. But you can have love trouble. And out of all the trouble, ain't no trouble like love trouble. Oh, love trouble. Oh, I know I'm talking about love trouble. Love trouble will have you in the morning crying in your Cheerios talking about, where is she? Love trouble. Is it ever going to call me? Oh, yeah, love trouble. Love trouble messed you up. See, love trouble affects everything else. Can't eat right, can't sleep right, can't work right, can't do nothing when you got love trouble. Here's the thing about love trouble. I had a couple come to me not too long ago. I said, well, how's the marriage going? He said, fine. She's in the back and said, Your marriage could be in trouble and you don't even know it. Amen. You might be the last one to find out. Her boyfriend will be the first one. Amen. Preach, Holy Ghost. I'm preaching today. Y'all ain't talking back, but I'm preaching this way anyhow. I know something about trouble. The biggest problem with love trouble is when God loves you and you don't love him back. It affects everything. And that's trouble with a capital T. When God has blessed you in so many ways and you don't turn around and bless him back and show that you appreciate and thank him for the many blessings he's blessed you with. Don't you ever take God for granted. And trouble has power. Trouble has the power to rain on your parade, cancel your picnic, turn your joy into sorrow, your smiles into frowns. Trouble can embarrass you before your friends, break your heart, and even cause a heart attack. Trouble can make you look down when you should be looking up to God. Trouble can make you run to God or run away from God. So the question is, what is your trouble doing for you? Are you running from God or running to God in your trouble? Job had these three friends. that came to him. And for the first 7 days, everything was fine. But when Job spoke up and began to talk about his plight and his dilemma, it caused them to speak up. And one by one, they began to tell Job in so many words, "You must have did something wrong. You must have sinned in some kind of way. Your righteousness is not what you think it is." And so in our text in the 14th chapter, Job is answering Zophar, who had been the most abrasive with Job, and told Job, "You just need to repent. And then everything would be all right." Everybody thinks they know God so well. If you read this, you'll find out that God shows up later on around chapter 38 and begin to say, "Y'all don't know nothing." And he tells Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? When did I tell the thunder clouds to clap and my rain to fall? Who do you think you are anyway?" But anyway, Job answers in this way of talking of his trouble. "The man that's born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth as just like a flower, but he's cut down." But see, the whole problem of a flower being cut down, if the root is still there, it might come back. "He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." All this life really is just a shadow. This is not our final destination, church. Time after time, I have to remind you that life is fleeting and that this is not all God has for us, that He has prepared us a place. There's a building not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. And every now and then I have to remind you, because you get so fixated and focused on what you see right around you and thinking that this is all. This ain't all. This is temporary. Everything about this life is temporary. It is a temporary journey. And you have time between the crib and the crypt, between the womb and the tomb, to accept Christ as your personal Savior. And when you accept Christ as your personal Savior, it changes your destiny and your destination. It's up to you.
Thank you for your word.
But it's going to be trouble. Let me conclude when I tell you that there's seven things or seven remedies. I want to give you a scriptural prescription. Dr. Twyman is going to talk to you now. Give you a scriptural prescription. Now you know that when the doctor gives you a prescription, it don't mean nothing unless you take it to the pharmacy. And then you got to bring it home and take the medicine. That medicine sitting up in the cabinet ain't doing you no good. So you got to take this now. Let me give you this prescription. Number one, don't ever say, "It can't be worse than this." Yes, it can. Don't ever say that. As a matter of fact, when you say that, don't say, "Lord, give me patience." Ooh, no. Don't ever ask God for patience. Romans 5:3 says, "Tribulation worketh patience." The more you ask God for patience, the more tribulation He'll send you. So you have to wait on the Lord. And that's one of the dirtiest words I know. Dirty four-letter word is W-A-I-T. We don't like to wait for nothing. Amen. We want instant coffee, Jiffy Mix cornbread, drive-through at the restaurant. We don't want to wait for nothing. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Mount up on wings like eagles and run and not get weary." So listen, don't ever say it can't get worse, because you don't understand. You see, you've heard that phrase that somebody's junk is somebody else's treasure. Well, sometimes your pain would be somebody else's picnic. The man was crying, talking about, "I'm in trouble, I ain't got no shoes." Well, you crying to the man who don't have no feet to put shoes on. There'd be a lot of places that would trade places with you right now. People would be willing to trade places with you. You're talking about all your trouble. You got a roof over your head, even if the rent is behind. Amen. And even if you ain't got a light, you got a flashlight and some candles. Amen. There's some folk don't have a house over the roof over their head. Don't have clean water to drink. And you cry with a loaf of bread up under your arm. Talking about it can't get no worse than this. Yes, it can. Sometimes you think that your dilemma is so heartening and disheartening, and you don't understand. You don't know how good you got it. If you're able to walk in here and didn't have to roll you in here, you ought to be thankful to God for 2 feet. So don't ever say it could get worse, can't get worse, because it can. Number two. Expect trouble. Expect it. When trouble show up, I said, "Well, what took you so long? I knew you were coming. You late, I was waiting on you." I don't get surprised when trouble show up. I've been expecting it. Anytime things going too good, I go, "Oh, trouble on its way." And I told you, you don't have to make no announcement talking about, "Here I come." Trouble just show up. But it don't surprise me because I expect trouble. Listen, let me throw some word on this. Jesus said it like this in John 16:33. He said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." That's trouble. "But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Listen, Paul put it like this in 2 Timothy 3:12. He says, "All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer tribulation." So if you're not suffering tribulation, you must not be living godly in Christ Jesus. Because it comes with the territory. Expect it. Acts 14:22. "We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. The road to heaven is paved with potholes of trouble. But Jesus promised to be a shock absorber in your time of trouble." Number three, endure it. When it comes, trouble, I knew you were coming. I just got to endure it. Sometimes you got to just bite down on your teeth. Bite your tongue to keep you from saying something silly or stupid. Just endure it. Men, sometimes you just got to man up. Just take it. See, if you just shut up, folks will think you wise. Open your mouth, everybody know you're a fool. Just shut up sometimes. You don't tell everybody your trouble. Talk to God. Then talk to him again. Everybody wants for a pity party. "Oh, poor is me. I don't know what's wrong." I know what's wrong. You need to talk to God. Stay out of my office. I didn't really mean that. I just got caught up in the moment. I just meant that for one person. He ain't here. He was at 8 o'clock. Amen. My wife laughed because she knew who I'm talking about. Amen. Endure it. 2 Timothy 2:3. Endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Endure it. James 5:11. It says, we glory in tribulation. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Just endure it. Grit your teeth if you have to, but endure it. Number four, understand it is comparatively light. You see, trouble is not as heavy as you think it is. Listen to what it says in Romans 8:18. "The suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Whatever you're going through is not right to even be to compare with what we'll get in glory. This suffering, affliction is light. It's not as heavy as perhaps you think it is. Everybody in here need to go down memory lane and remember when you was in some trouble, you thought it was going to kill you, but you're still here. You were sick, didn't think you're going to get well, but you're here. Doctor said something, but you're still here. They turn off the lights and the water and the gas, but you're still here. Didn't have a one pair of shoes, but now you got 16 and 60. Amen. It's comparatively light when you compare it to what we're going to receive. Number five. And don't forget this one. It's less than what we deserve. Did you hear what I said? Your trouble is less than what you really and I really deserve. Let me throw some word on this. It said in Psalms 103:10, it said, "He hath not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Because grace and mercy came in. Oh, if it hadn't been for grace and for mercy, I believe this church would be empty. And I wouldn't be here neither. Hallelujah. But thank God for grace and mercy. It's less than what we deserve. We don't deserve His grace and His mercy. Number six. When trouble come, rejoice in it. If you ever really want to make the devil mad, dance when you get in trouble. Get your dance on when trouble come and just say, "I've been expecting you anyhow, trouble. I'm going to endure you. I know it's less than what I really deserve, and I'm just going to dance in my trouble and rejoice because I know whatever I get in, God can get me out." You got to dance your way through your trouble. Amen. Amen. Rejoice in it. It says here in 1 Peter 4:13, "Rejoice in it inasmuch as ye are the partakers of Christ's suffering. And when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Because Christ has gone through suffering and trouble too. Rejoice! And here's number seven. All right. It's only temporary. Yeah. I'm so glad. Trouble don't last always. It's only temporary. I may not see my way through, but it's temporary. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh to us a far more an exceeding grace." 1 Peter 5:10, "After you have suffered a while, he make you perfect, establish and strengthen you and settle you after you suffer a while." You see, Job's suffering was temporary. He lost everything in a fleeting moment. But if you go to the end of the book, to the last chapter of Job, you'll find that God steps in. And God tells his friends to give him an offering. And then God gives him double for his trouble. Oh, that's a good thing. Gave him twice as much as he had. See, you ain't at the end of your book yet. Or the end of your journey. Yes. Whatever we go through. I love the way David said it. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Yes.
I fear no evil,
yes,
for thou art with me.
Yes.
I love that because I'm just going through.
Yes.
See, I didn't come to set up residence in trouble. I'm just going through my trouble.
Yes.
And see, a lot of us who get to this age I am now, we're in what I call the sandwich age.
Yes.
Where if it's not your parents, it's your children causing you trouble.
Yes.
And sometimes it's both of them, and you're right in between.
Yes.
But I'm not surprised because I've seen in 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are troubled on every side. Yeah, but we're not distressed.
Yes.
We're perplexed,
yes,
but not in despair.
Yes.
We're persecuted,
yes,
but not forsaken. We're cast down,
yes,
but not destroyed. Trouble will be all around you.
Yes.
But you can endure it. I'm just going through. It's just a shadow. See, the shadow of a gun can't shoot you. Shadow of a knife can't stab you. I was standing out by the corner the other day, and the sun was brightly shining, and a truck ran down the street, and the shadow of the truck ran me over, but I'm okay. It was just a shadow of the truck. That's all death is to we who are saints. It's just a shadow. We leave here, we go to where God would have us to go, to heaven. And I'm tired of y'all talking about a better place. A whole lot of places better than Detroit. I ain't going to no better place. I'm going to heaven. The Bermuda is a better place. Hawaii is a better place. I'm going to heaven, the best place all the earth can't even foretell. It's great. It's not even in this earth. It's out of this world. I'm going to heaven. I'm going through. The song says, I'm going through, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way with the Lord this past few. I've started with Jesus, and I'm going through. You see, I'm not by myself. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. He'd be with me always, even to the ends of the age. I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roar. I've felt sin break of dashing. It tried to conquer my soul. I heard the voice of my Savior. He told me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me. No, never to leave me alone. I tell you, I'm just going through. Soon I'll be done with the troubles of this world. I'm going home to be with the Lord. Well, Job says also around the 13th verse of the 14th chapter, he said, oh, that thou would hide me in the grave, thou would keep me secret until thy wrath be past. And then that appointed time to set for me, remember me. And then Job asked an important question. He says, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Well, Jesus came along and answered the question. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Oh, I believe Jesus. I believe Jesus. I don't mind trouble. Because it ain't going to last long. Let me tell you a little story. It has been said that there was a restaurant out on the East Coast that was famous for its codfish. Well, the codfish was so great that people would drive from miles and miles around to the restaurant. And because the business was so booming, and because they had no more room for their customers, they moved uptown about 15 miles from their residence. Well, the codfish didn't taste as good as it used to. Because in the 15 miles traveling, it seemed as though the codfish was not as fresh as it used to be. They called a board meeting of the restaurant. And somebody said, well, if we pack it on ice, it'll be all right. But it still was not fresh. Somebody said, if you try dry ice, it'll be all right. But it still wasn't all right. Somebody said, if you put the codfish in some salt water, in a tank, it would move around and be fresh. They tried that. They put the codfish in a tank of salt water, but he just sat there. Didn't swim much. Then somebody said, well, I have a solution. It has been said that the worst enemy of a codfish is a catfish. And I believe if you put a catfish in that tank with that codfish, he'll keep him swimming around and around and around and around. He'll disturb him and give him all the trouble in the world. And by the time you get that codfish to the dinner plate, he'll be fresh as he came out the water. And they tried it. And it worked. That's all I'm trying to tell you, that God put a catfish in your tank. And he's swimming and keep you swimming around and around and around. Trouble on every side. And I want to thank God for the trouble I've experienced, because it keeps me swimming around and around and around. I'm praising him. I'm thanking him. I'm calling on the name as I go around and around and around. Let me tell you something. The greatest trouble that Jesus had, they took my Jesus, and because he said who he said he was, they took him and they hammered and nailed his nails, head and hands to a cross. They nailed his feet and put a crown of thorns on his head. If you don't think that's trouble, you don't know nothing about trouble. They hung him high between two thieves. Stretched him wide between two thieves. They hung him between his father in heaven and his mother on earth. That's trouble. But he died on the cross for me and you. Yes, he did. He took my sin and your sin. They took him down. Put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there Friday. And all day Saturday. But early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave. All power of heaven and earth in his hand. God bless you today. I thank God for the catfish in my tank. I know it gives me trouble, but I'm keep on swimming. When I get home, when I get to heaven, I'm gonna be fresh. I'll be fresh. Yes, I will. I'm just going through. I'm just going through. I'm just going through. Trouble, stand to your feet. The door of the church is open.